Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19? We're going to begin this morning at verse 5. This is in the context of Elijah and his trial, and in verse 5 it says, "Then as he," that's Elijah, "lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And so he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' And so he arose and he ate and he drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." The title of this message, Why We Get Discouraged, and of course this is part two, and you remember last week we looked at verses 1 through 4, and we talked about the steps that led Elijah to this place of great discouragement. He took his focus off the Lord, he fled, and he became obsessed with his failures. Beginning in verse 5, we observe that Elijah is physically and emotionally, and I might add spiritually, exhausted. All of us can relate, I think, to physical exhaustion. How many of you have, you've experienced, you know what it's like to be just physically exhausted? And you might say, well, what's worse than being physically exhausted possibly is being emotionally exhausted. Mental exhaustion. How many of you experienced a mental exhaustion? And you know, sometimes it's physical and mental together. But I believe there is something even more going on with Elijah. There can be a spiritual exhaustion that comes so often from times of ministry, or actually just when you're living for the Lord, you're going to experience some exhaustion, not just physically, but mentally and certainly spiritually. And you say, well, why spiritually? What is it that happens that brings about this sense of spiritual exhaustion? Well, I think the answer to that, we looked at this last week, Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." I'm sure most of you have tuned in, at least in the headlines, to the Olympics. And one thing you will note is that the amount of physical effort those individuals put out, extreme physical effort. And can you imagine the exhaustion that they feel? And of course, being a wrestler in high school, I kind of followed a little bit of the wrestling that was especially between, the Russians and the United States. And of course, they called, I think the Russian was the tank, and it was Captain America, there in the United States. And the exhaustion when you wrestle. Now, I always heard that wrestling was probably the most physically exhausting sport that there is, and I believe it. It's just constant struggle. It's constant strain. And it says here, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but there is a wrestling that is taking place, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness." And so there is a spiritual exhaustion, and Elijah was in that place. He had been wrestling with the very powers of darkness. What purpose, you might ask, did it serve when Elijah challenged King Ahab and his false prophets to a spiritual duel? It served the purpose of demonstrating the very power of the one true and the living God. And you can be certain that those who witnessed the spectacular miracle of God were strengthened in their faith. And it may be that many people even turn back to God. It was somewhat of a turning point, a spiritual revival. And in the spiritual realm, there was an invisible battle. There was a wrestling match, you might say, taking place. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And Elijah is the prophet of God. He was right in the midst of that battle. He was the main man that God used to demonstrate the power of God in front of all of the people. He was that man that God used to call for the execution of hundreds of false prophets of Baal and Asherah. And it left Elijah exhausted. He was physically exhausted. He was mentally exhausted, but he was spiritually exhausted, and he lay under the broom tree. What we see in Elijah's state of this natural exhaustion is the supernatural that takes place. Verse 5, then as he lay and he slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Now I want you to note that word suddenly. Because suddenly, I mean, it was just like, you know, how the angels have always appeared in the past. It's been sudden. It is not expected. And suddenly, this angel of the Lord, and it says then in verse 6, then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate, and he drank, and he lay down again. Now, the appearance of an angel is really quite spectacular. Now, if I don't know about you, but if I suddenly discovered an angel next to me in my time of spiritual exhaustion, I mean, I would get really pumped up. I would be so excited. I couldn't wait to tell you about it and give a testimony of what happened. Man, I was tired and I was laying there and I was all down and I was all out, and, you know, and suddenly, I mean, out of nowhere, there's an angel next to me. And that would be quite spectacular, wouldn't it? As I considered Elijah, I thought how incredible that God ministered to Elijah through an angel. God used the supernatural to minister to Elijah in his natural biological need. He needed food. He needed rest. He needed more food, and he needed more rest. Elijah, the biological needs, those basic human needs that we have, God wasn't finished with Elijah, and God knew that biologically, humanly speaking, Elijah, what he needed was food and rest. And here we see God ministering supernaturally to Elijah in his natural biological needs. Now, how many of you might think, well, I would love to have an angel minister to me like that. Wouldn't you like that? I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic if an angel just showed up out of nowhere suddenly, and there was food, and there was water, and then rest? And you say, well, I'd like to have that angel, but I'm not Elijah. And because of this, people will believe that God would not minister to them supernaturally in the same way that God ministered to Elijah. And that is our mistake. I want you to see this morning that God uses the same angel. God uses the same empowerment. God uses the same power that he used to minister to Elijah. He will minister to you and I. Verse 7. It says, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Verse 7 tells us something about that angel that we didn't see in verse 5. It says, and the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we see angels, but then we see the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Angels in general themselves are created beings created by God. But the angel of the Lord is a different angel that shows up at very important junctures in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, it's pronounced Ma'ak Yahweh. Ma'ak Yahweh. Who is this angel of the Lord, Ma'ak? He first shows up in Genesis chapter 16, and he makes a promise to Hagar, who was the handmaiden of Abram, or Abraham. And listen to the promise. Genesis chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. Notice, now the angel of the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai is made. Where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Now, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Now you can tell just looking at that promise that this is no ordinary angel. This is not one of the created beings of God, for a created being of God cannot make such a promise. And you look at verse 13, and then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees, for she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? She recognized that this angel of the Lord was nonetheless, it was God. It was God showing up in a physical presence, God. Now, Hagar, attributing this deity to the angel of the Lord, you are the God who sees. Have I also here seen God who sees me? And wherever you see this Ma'ak Yahweh, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, you are seeing a visible representation of none other than God. Now, Paul, writing to the Colossian church, he gives a lengthy description of Jesus. And in describing Jesus, Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And wherever you see a visual representation of God in the Old Testament in angelic form, you are seeing none other than Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus. In theological terms, it's referred to as a theophany. A theophany, a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ showing up on the scene. And there are quite a number of places where Ma'ak Yahweh shows up, and without exception, there is the impartation of something that is supernatural. So here we have Jesus, none other than Jesus, personally ministering to Elijah. And there's one more thing that I would point out. It's the phrase, he touched him. He touched. In both verses 5 and 7, the angel of the Lord touched Elijah. I went back and I did some study on the word touch, and wherever the Lord touched one of his servants, supernatural power was imparted. Or in the case of Jacob, you might say he was crippled. But it was supernatural. It was the hand of God. It was the touch of God. Daniel 10:18. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me, and what happened? Strengthen me. A supernatural empowerment, a strengthening directly from God to man through the touch. I think every time Jesus touched someone, something supernatural happened. He touched Peter's wife's mother on the hand and took away her fever. He touched the eyes of two blind men, gave them sight. He touched the ears and the tongue of a deaf mute and gave him hearing and speech. He touched a leper, made him clean. It was the touch of God. Twice Elijah was touched by the angel of the Lord. Physically, Elijah was strengthened by the food. Physically, Elijah was strengthened by sleep. But we know because Elijah went for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness without food. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights as he journeyed through the wilderness about 150 miles to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, there was a spiritual impartation of power from God to Elijah. And I do believe that is what God desires to do with us in our times of discouragement. God wants to empower us. God wants to strengthen us. God knows we need sleep. God knows we need nutrition. But God knows that what we really need is we need that impartation of spiritual power. God is a God of empowerment. God will strengthen you. God will empower you. God will supernaturally touch you and fill you in your life. You are never alone, I will tell you, in this spiritual battle. But isn't it true? Wouldn't you agree with me? So often you feel alone in times of discouragement. I believe that's something that discourages us. We feel alone in our circumstances. We feel alone where we're at. And we feel like nobody understands. Or we feel that nobody really cares. I think the powers against us go beyond the natural. They are invisible to the human eye. When we talk about this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're talking about something that's taking place in the realm of the invisible. But God will never leave us alone in that spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul, like Elijah, faced the same spiritual battle, and it's the same battle that we face today. It's the same tendency we have towards discouragement. But Paul was able to overcome the discouragement. He did not succumb. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul writing to the church, and he said, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We're knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Listen to Paul's commentary on how this works. 2 Corinthians 4:16, and then he concludes and he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. Therefore, we do not fall into despair. That is, we never give up. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like giving up in life? Have you ever felt like giving up in ministry? Have you ever felt like just giving up and giving in your work? Have you ever felt like giving up on marriage? Have you ever felt like giving up in anything that God has given you to do? You've experienced the spiritual battle. You've gone through the warfare. You're tired. You become spiritually tired. And you feel like giving up. Have you ever felt like giving up? Notice how Paul acknowledges human biological weakness. We live in these bodies that are destructible. How many of you have felt the destruction in your body because of something you did in your past? Maybe you were a weightlifter like Al. Maybe you were a volleyball player like John. Maybe you broke horses that broke you, like Pastor JD. You know, whatever it was, there is something that causes you pain as you grow in later in life. For the Apostle Paul, it was simply ministry. He was broken physically through the ministry. We were crushed. We were perplexed on all sides. We were surrounded by those who hated us. And Paul here is just referring to the natural process of aging, but even more so, a process that goes beyond what is natural. It was due to the ministry. Paul is talking about the accelerated process of death due to severe trauma that was a result of the abuse he endured as a result of being in the ministry. He said, but you know, we don't lose heart. We are not driven to despair. Now, what was the key to Paul's ability to overcome the discouragement? Even considering the accelerated aging process that came with this extreme physical abuse that Paul endured, Paul described it as a renewal. He described it as a refreshing, a sense of spiritual, I call it a sense of spiritual thriving, even when the body is dying. Paul draws our attention to the difference between what takes place with the outward man, that is our human body, versus what's actually taking place on the inside. That is the spiritual nature that we have been born again of the Spirit of God. A song I grew up with was, maybe you as well, was the song Holy, Holy, Holy. That's a description of the holiness of the Trinity. The angel of the Lord, the physical presence of Jesus, Jesus said to his followers, I won't leave you alone, and when I ascend into heaven, I will send you, what? Send you a helper. He will not just be with you, but he will be inside of you. He will be in you. You will never be left alone spiritually. Yes, the outward man is perishing, but he goes on to say that inward man, that spiritual man, is being renewed day by day, and therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not become discouraged. We do not give up because we have the very presence and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit living on the inside. How many of you as believers, you acknowledge and you say, yes, I have the power, I have the empowerment, I have the filling, I have the very Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living inside of me. And you can think, well, I would love to be Elijah and have that angel just show up and touch me, to have the physical presence of an angel, the angel of the Lord, to be there to touch me. But you have something even more. You have the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send you the helper, and he shall be with you, and he shall be in you. And you have that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, living inside of you. As we discovered last week, there are seasons and there are reasons why we become discouraged in life. And there are steps that lead us into discouragement. First of all, we don't have to stay there. Secondly, even better, we don't have to go there to begin with. I would say most of us, though, we do experience seasons and times of discouragement. The same day-by-day renewal that Paul experienced, you and I, we too, we can experience. You question, well, why is it that I don't experience that? You know what I believe it is? I think that we simply don't appropriate the very empowerment of God into our lives that he would give to each one of us. The very presence of God, the Spirit of God. Jesus said, he said, if a son would ask his father for a loaf of bread, would he give him a stone? Would he give him a rock? Of course not. And how much more will the Father give the Spirit to you when you ask? I think a lot of times we just don't ask. We don't seek. We're not serious. We try to find our own way out of our own troubles. We try to go and we try to take it in our own strength. And God would say to each of us, no, no. You go in the strength and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And if you seek him, you will find him. If you diligently ask for him, he will come. He's there already, his very presence, but his power you will discover in times of need when you ask for that power. Lord, help. We were reading this last week in the Psalms, and we always come to a certain psalm, and I recognize it because it just simply begins with, help, Lord. And sometimes that's where we need to be, where we just say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Be filled with the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for sending Jesus, who ministers to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that the body was broken, the body of Christ, and that the blood was shed. The very first ministry to us is the ministry of forgiveness and cleansing of all sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a way to come to you through Jesus. For Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to us the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of us. I pray for any that need that encouragement, that may be in a place of tiredness, discouragement. Lord, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, may it be upon them. Not just touching, but filling their very life, empowering, renewing, restoring, bringing spiritual revival where it is needed. We pray your blessing on this church, Lord, those who have come, those who could not be here. And we thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ and the encouragement that we receive from each other, the fellowship that we have through Jesus. And it is in the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week. May the Spirit of God rest upon you and be in you, filling your life, encouraging you, empowering you, and strengthening you in those areas where you need that spiritual empowerment, that strength of God, that you would walk in his power. I pray that you would experience the refreshment that Paul has received, the renewing, though the outward man be perishing. We all can relate to that. But that inward work of the Holy Spirit, renewing you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.